Welcome to the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast with your host, hailing from Kokona, Wisconsin, riding a CST Tires SSI decals traveling back Yamaha YFZ450R, four-time ATV motocross national champion, number 25, Cody Jansen.
What's up, everybody?
We're back!
Welcome to the latest edition of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, episode 132 of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, presented by our title sponsor, CST Tires, in stock and available for purchase today at shop.csttires.com. I'm your host, Cody Jansen, saying hello to our nearly 250,000 monthly Digging Deep listeners in all 108 countries in which you are listening. And this is our Digging Deep Daytona ATV Supercross in 2024 ATV Motocross Season Preview Show. We're just days away from the 10th Daytona ATV Supercross to kick off the 2024 ATV Motocross National Championship season. We'll preview the event by mentioning every rider set to compete at the World Center of Racing in both the pro and pro sport classes, and then look ahead to the 2024 season as a whole as well. So kick back, enjoy what is always one of my favorite episodes of the year, and while you're listening, don't waste any more time before heading over to ATVFantasy.com to secure your spot in a new season of Digging Deep ATV Fantasy. You don't want to miss it. But now, let's quickly shout out all of our incredible partners. CST Tires, go to shop.csttires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew. Thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Launderville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Hamauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing, our choice when it comes to case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. New partner, the D6 Ultimate Quad Series. Stoked to have them on board. More to come on them. And Manscaped to get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. Start the season off right by going to manscaped.com and using code DIGGINGDEEP20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Whether it's the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the GOAT of electric razor trimmers, my favorite, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit from Manscaped, or the best nose hair trimmer ever created, the Weed Whacker 2.0, get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. So rad that Manscaped is starting yet another season, continuing to invest in ATV racing as a longtime partner of Digging Deep. Help us keep them in the fold and involved in ATV racing by using our Digging Deep 20 code so they know you enjoy Digging Deep and what we're all about. Support all the great companies that support us, and for any products that fall through the cracks, click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner on our website to help us out. Preparations for this 2024 season should be in full swing, and no matter what off-road gear parts you need, Rocky Mountain ATVMC has you covered. But before you buy, simply click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner on our website. By using our specific link, we get a percentage of what you buy on the back end, enabling you to help us out while purchasing the parts you need anyway. And did you know you can buy OEM parts from Rocky Mountain ATVMC as well? Yep, shipped conveniently right to your door. So click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner at diggingdeepatvmx.com to help us out while satisfying all your gear and parts needs. Shout out to all of our donors. If you are interested in donating and hearing your name on our show, you can find the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee donation links on our website. Major thanks to all who have donated, of course. Now, if you can't donate, but you still want to help us out, you can always leave us a rating or a review on iTunes and Spotify. That helps us out a bunch, too. A reminder to head over to ATVFantasy.com now to start assembling your four-rider squad for ATV Fantasy for Daytona. You're definitely going to get pumped up for that in the conversation ahead. But now, it's showtime. The 30-second board is up, it's sideways, and the gate is down. Time to dig deep.
Let's go!
All right, guys, we're back with one of my favorite episodes of the season each and every year, our 2024 Daytona ATV Supercross and season preview show. And joining me to help get you ready for next week's season opener and the season ahead, brought to you by UPP Racing. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com to save on your next order of case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. Say hello to reigning national champion in two different classes in 2023, Mr. Tom Ebden. Tom, welcome back to Digging Deep, buddy. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Cody. Being on here twice is definitely an honor, so thank you.
Heck yeah, man. I think it was episode 126, maybe, that you were last on. And now, yes, in short order here, we're getting you back on. I thought you were great on the show last time and thought you were the perfect guest to join me here because you were at Deckers in the offseason here in the preseason, getting some prep work in, seeing many of the riders that we're about to talk about prepping to get ready for their own seasons, just like you were doing. And then you suffered an injury. So let's start by discussing that, what you want to share there, and then giving us an update on your condition.
So I was training. I was actually really looking forward to this season and was working pretty hard. And I was pretty much like 95 to 100% ready to go. If I had like another couple of days, I would have felt like perfect, ready to go for Daytona. So we were there, and the last moto of the day, when the accident happened, I basically went on the track. I didn't even make it a full lap, and there's basically this at Deckers, there's this sweeping corner, and there's a lip out of the corner, and you jump into these set of rollers, and track was obviously super rough, which is totally fine, no one's fault there,
of course,
and the lip was a little beat, and I kind of came off the lip. And it started to throw the bike sideways. And I mean, everybody that's rode a four-wheeler and raced one, obviously, everybody's landed a bit sideways before. So I wasn't too concerned about it. So I was starting to turn in the air. And I basically put all my pressure on my left leg. And when I landed, it was the left side first. And just completely all the pressure went to the Nerf bar. And I stayed on the bike, and I just immediately knew I felt the pain in my ankle, and I kind of lifted it up and it was straight. And then I just felt it go to the left a bunch. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. So drove back to camp, and immediately knew. I was super, super calm about it. And not that it's like a flex or whatever, but I was actually kind of happy and proud of myself for keeping so content, but no, just got in the truck and drove to the hospital, obviously, and then basically the injury, and I'm not too knowledgeable on it, I should be a lot more, but I broke my fibula right where it connects to, I think it's called the talus, which is your ankle bone where it rotates, and then there's another bone like behind your Achilles, and I broke that one as well. So the doctor basically set it back in place, and then I went back for the night and I drove to the airport and flew home. And then two Wednesdays ago, I got surgery. So
okay,
I put a rod and screws in my fibula, and then that pulled everything back together to hold it all straight so it can heal.
Got it. So being where it's broken on the fibula down near that ankle bone, is that a relatively standard place to break it? Or is that like a complicated place to break your leg?
The doctor, the surgeon, he said that it's pretty common.
Okay.
Especially with me putting so much force and weight on it going like in that quickly. It was bound to happen. I mean, it sucks, it's unfortunate, but it's a part of the sport, and I'm not letting it discourage me. And I know some people may say that, oh, he's just gonna fizzle out or whatever, but absolutely not done, and I'm ready to go back whenever it's 100% and ready to go.
Awesome. Well, that's great to hear that it is not a overly complicated situation, and if it's pretty standard, they rod and they screw people's legs together every single day, right? So so that's a good thing. Obviously, we're early in the process here, but do you have any idea on what it looks like to get back racing potentially later this season, or do you not have a time frame yet? Like I said, it's early, so I'm sure you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but do you have any thoughts as far as what your 2024 season could still look like?
I definitely will be racing. Probably In a few, definitely a few months. So basically, tomorrow I go to the doctor and they pull the staples out and they take the cast off I'm in now, and it's just like a fabric cast, and it kind of like just for swelling. And then
Okay.
they're gonna put it. They're either gonna put it in like a hard cast, like a fiberglass cast, or a air cast, depending on how good the X-rays come back.
Okay.
Yeah, d definitely a few months before I'm definitely back on the bike. And no, but as soon as I get everything good and I can go to physical therapy, just gonna be doing that a lot, and then just need to get back in the gym and get my fitness to 100% again before I even touch the four-wheeler.
Yep.
So I'm hoping it may be around the end of May, maybe June. I could probably hopefully ride and go racing again.
Awesome.
I don't want to put myself to that if something there's a bump in the road along the way, which I hopefully that doesn't happen, but hopefully definitely racing by then.
Yeah, you never want to be too rigid, right? In case something unforeseen comes up. But at the same time, it is good to have goals out there and things to shoot for. That's what keeps a person going. You know, if you have those check marks in your mind, hey, I want to be riding by X and I want to be racing by Y, that kind of thing is not a bad thing. So
Yeah.
definitely know what you're getting at there. At the same time, you know, I think that athletes are oftentimes defined by when they're down like this, when something happens, how do you attack it? Obviously, your mind is in the right spot and I mean, obviously you're not stoked that this happened, but you're going to make the most of it. That's what the best of the best do. It's, I mean, what you do with your time here, whether it's mental laps, doing as much upper body as you can when you get to that point. I mean, all those things, however you handle this is going to speak volumes as to, you know, how quickly maybe you come out of this, you as an athlete. I mean, even a mental thing, man, like it's going to make you that much hungrier, right? I'm assuming, you know, you were ready. You were stoked for Daytona here coming next week. At the same time, you're not picturing Daytona anymore, but now you're picturing what it's going to be like to come back from this injury and hopefully get on the box in the Pro-Am or Pro Sport classes. We were going to see you race next week. I wish that we were obviously going to, but at the same time, now just that finish line, that, you know, next goal just changes into something else. It's not just gone, but I think having that goal in mind, having that next goal in mind, I still think is very important, whether it's next week or, you know, 5 months from now, that next goal and even little goals along the way. I think that that's very important.
Yeah, no, for sure. I thought about this the other day, and you honestly do not know what you have until you lose it and getting taken
Right.
away from you. So
Right.
I think it relit a bit more of a fire under me than I have had. So I'm pretty happy for that in a sense. But no, just take it day by day. And I've been doing some upper body stuff, like just as much as I can. I can't exactly like. So my gym's in my basement. I can't actually exactly get down there the best.
Okay.
So I've been trying to do some stuff, but no, I'll be back, and I'll be honestly, I will be better than I was in fitness and in riding and every aspect. And no, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I think it's something that I've always believed in, and I've said it a time or two. I probably said it on the show here, but I've always thought that whether it's a loss or it's a hurdle like this or whatever, they truly make us appreciate the good days. They make us appreciate the wins. And kind of like you just said, you don't know what you got until it's gone. Sometimes it's just appreciating a normal day. Like every once in a while, I'm not even talking about, you know, me as a racer right now. I'm talking about me as a human being. And some days when everything's just perfectly normal and there's nothing special going on or anything like that, and I just find myself thinking, man, I'm grateful that it's just a good day right now. Like I'm healthy, family's healthy. Like we're our problem. None of our problems are, you know, insurmountable. Like that makes it a good day. So I like where your mind is at there. So let's get into the ATV motocross portion of things here. Obviously, this is our Daytona ATV Supercross and season preview show here. Like I said at the start, one of my favorite shows of the year every year because we get to talk about and speculate the exciting season of racing to come. Something that we've been looking forward to now for months since the checkered flag last flew last fall or late last season. And let's start with the schedule, Tom. So the schedule we obviously know now is pretty similar to years past with Daytona starting things off here in March, just a week from now. The series will then go to Kemp, Texas at Underground. But now, instead of like last year, we went right from Daytona right to Gatorback. And this year we have a whole month between round one and round two. So that is that's a big difference compared to last year, whether it's riders, and we'll get into some of these guys, but a rider like Chad Weenan, who probably isn't entering Daytona totally healthy, that break is going to help him be probably more up to par by round two there. So that's round two. Round three, Etchikani, which is a super exciting addition back to the series. I think it's the first time back on the schedule since 2015. And then there was a time period back to, man, nearly 10 years earlier, maybe 8 years earlier, that the series has went to Etchikani. So very excited for that one. Round four at Ironman. Now we're up to my birthday weekend, May 4th and 5th. Later in May, High Point Raceway for round five. June now, Buds Creek. We're going back to Buds Creek, which is super exciting. And they have a ATV weekend leading up to that event. It's not the weekend before, it's a few weeks before, but ATV weekend there that we're going to be a part of. So super excited about that. Round seven at Sunset Ridge. This is getting to be the part of the schedule where maybe Tom is back at the races. This would be June 22nd and 23rd, Sunset Ridge. He told us that that's one of his favorite tracks on the circuit last time he was on the show. Pleasure Valley, round eight. That's always 4th of July weekend there. So that's round eight for Pleasure Valley. Back to Briarcliff for round nine. And I'm sure we'll touch on this at some point, but a lot of cool stuff happening at Briarcliff for round nine in Nashport, Ohio. That's July 27th and 28th. And then obviously round 10, the finale at Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee, August 10th and 11th. So Tom, pretty standard, pretty typical series here. Very similar to last year, though we have the addition of Etchikani instead of Gatorback. So we substituted one racetrack that was on the series for a long time for another one that's had a hiatus, much like Gatorback did. So that's going to be really exciting. What stands out to you about the schedule, Tom? Anything stand out to you?
No, like you say, it's like last year, but Etchikani definitely stands out. I mean, super bummed that I won't be able to make it there and race there, because I was actually really looking forward to racing there, being like it's sandy and it's super rough. But every track he listed on there, and the schedule is good. I mean, it's got good spots, you know, good areas and stuff like that. So I think it's a good schedule, and I think everybody will like it. Obviously, I've heard a lot of people have liked it, so I think it's good.
I think so too. Obviously, we did a bunch of coverage of the Etchikani edition when the news first broke. And that's one that is just, it's the highlight of it for me. Going back to Etchikani, I grew up watching these DVDs of the old races at Etchikani. It was one of those races as a little boy on a blaster. That was like one of the tracks I wanted to go to for whatever reason. That was one of them. That was one of the discs that I completely wore out just watching it over and over and over again. So yeah, really excited about that one. And then very typical, obviously I love the Midwest races, the Ironmans, the Sunset Ridges. I love obviously Loretta's always. Buds Creek is special this year, being that we have that event that we're going to be a part of leading up to that one, the ATV weekend there at Buds Creek. But the one I'm probably most looking forward to, or looking forward to it as much as Etchikani, is Briarcliff. And very excited for that one. I had an absolute blast last year. We went there for our Digging Deep ATV ride day in the fall there. But then back at round nine last year, I was able to announce that event. I'm going to do that again this year in 2024. I'm stoked about that. That was something that I really, really enjoyed. That's something I had wanted to do for years and years and years. But more than anything, is this Legends race, man. I'm assuming you're pretty plugged in on all the talk about this Legends race, but it's going to be such a cool deal for all the people that are asking about it. It sounds like it should be done sometime, maybe kind of around the current pro motos, maybe before or after those, two moto format, and all kinds of big names are going to fill the gates for this one. From Dustin Wimmer, sounds like Corey Ellis, Dana Creech is in, Pat Brown, I know, wants to be a part of it. Shane Hitt wants to be there. John Talley's going, Nick DeNoble's going. And I know that there's going to be some creative ways. I don't want to give away the answers to the test here, but there's going to be some creative ways to make sure that it's not an advantage for the younger guys, put it that way. So some really cool stuff is going to happen. It's going to be a race that nobody wants to miss. I think that they're not going to have enough parking for this thing. It's going to be such a big deal. Like the whole internet is talking about it. So that's going to be really cool. And man, can you imagine? I don't know, Tom, who you like of that list of guys who you grew up, idolizing or whatever. But for me, the Shane Hits, the Dana Creeches, as I got a little older, I really looked up to Dustin Wimmer, obviously John Natale, so many names, man, to see them back at the racetrack, back on an ATV and back racing. Like I can't hide the smile on my face. It's going to be the coolest thing. So what a highlight for the season that's going to be.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, I was super bummed to see that Doug Guss couldn't go because he's
I
got to work.
know.
But I was that would obviously be so cool to see him race again. But no, honestly, a good group of guys that are going to go do that. But only person I've ever seen race is John Natale, and Nick DeNoble, obviously. But everyone else, like that was way before my time. So no, super cool to see that everybody is still involved in the sport and still want to do that after years of being away from it, and just coming up with the idea and trying to get these guys to come back just for a weekend and to have a good time and bragging rights. That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool too, because this, like a lot of these guys, or at least some of them, weren't involved in ATV racing at all. Dustin Wimmer, when he pulled the plug and
Yeah,
totally
he was
went away
over.
from it. Like he like there was pictures of them pulling this thing down from the rafters. So pretty rad that this is gonna go down. And like I said, it breaks up the monotony, the status quo of a season. Like Daytona
Yeah.
is always such a huge deal. It's funny to say, but it's the Daytona 500 of our season, where it's like the highlight of the year, and it's the first race instead of the last one, like a Super Bowl or something. And Etchikani is a big deal for round three, Briarcliff, that Legends race later on, and then that leads up to the finale. So it should be a really fun season, kind of highlighted by the beginnings and the ends of it, kind of. But what a season it's going to be. And next week, Tom, it's hard to believe that we're just, as we sit here now, we're a week away from Daytona, a week from
Yep.
right now as we're recording. The sun will have set on the eve prior to the race. Everybody will be in the pits, on the pavement. The garage is there at Daytona. For people that haven't been there, the way that the inside of Daytona International Speedway feels like a little city inside this, what feels like this big, like a old, like gladiator style big cathedral, basically. It's just the most amazing feeling. It's the most amazing place as far as racers go, for racing, as far as racing goes. And man, I got the hair standing up on my arm. Some of the memories I have there are some of my favorites. And there's going to be guys next Tuesday that probably surprise us, make a name for themselves, put a stamp on a good start to the season for them, all these things. So I assume you would have raced Daytona last year.
Yep.
So tell me about any favorite Daytona memories that you may have.
Yeah, no, it's kind of hard to explain to someone that hasn't been there. I know that sounds generic or whatever, but no, it's a pretty surreal feeling. It's pretty crazy to be in there, like where all the NASCAR guys is and stuff like that. But the first year that I went there, we actually just went there to spectate and watch, and that was pretty cool. And then the last year I raced, but no, it's a super cool experience. If you get there on like Saturday, you get to watch the dirt bikes race, and that's a big bucket list thing to do is watch them race Supercross, because that's pretty crazy. But just getting the race there and be another motorsport that has raced there and say that you did do it's a big achievement. It's something to say.
It's one of those things too, where I don't know if you would have told me in 2015, I believe was our first year doing that. And if you would have told me that we were still doing this basically a decade later, I don't know if I would have believed you, because it just felt like, man, like are we on a big enough stage to be here? And now 10 years later, we've almost been doing this for that long. And it's such a special thing. Like, yeah, the track isn't your typical ATV motocross track, but it gets really rough. It's definitely demanding. Something crazy happens. Craziness happens every single year. Like, it's just become such a annual staple of this series. It's just such a special thing to race down there, man. It's a really cool thing for ATV racing, for ATV motocross. And we dealt with some weather down there over the years. We've dealt with a little weather. We've dealt with some conditions. We've dealt with some trying things that didn't make it easy on riders necessarily. But it does look like I'm never one to look too far into the future as far as forecast goes, but it looks pretty good. Weather is basically mid 70s from now through the race day. showing 78 and overcast now for next Tuesday. So again, it's Florida. Pop-up storms can happen all the time. There's no doubt about that. But it sure looks like weather should be pretty solid for next Tuesday and leading up to next Tuesday.
We'll get right back to the show, but now a word from our sponsors. And thank you for listening to these ads. Without these great companies, none of this would be possible. Show your support for the people who support us.
The official tire choice of Digging Deep, CSD tires are the choice of ATV Racing's elite on the track, in the woods, and every other terrain. CSD tires swept the ATV racing world in 2022 as Joel Hetrick, Bryson Neal, and Bo Barron rode their Pulse MXR and Pulse HT tires to an ATV Pro Motocross title, GNCC XC1 Pro title, and 10th ATV Pro Works Racing title, respectfully. Led by champion Joel Hetrick and podium contenders Bryce Ford, Jeffrey Rastrelli, and Nick Janusa, CSD's Pulse MXR tire is the most trusted tire in ATV motocross today. Available in soft and standard compounds, the Pulse MXR offers the highest level of traction, most predictable cornering, and superior wear characteristics when compared to the competition. And did I mention they have a contingency program as well? Visit shop.csttires.com to join the CSD takeover today, or prepare to be beat by someone who did. The best of the best choose CST. Do you? You know we're Team Blue Crew here at the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, as the Yamaha YF Z450R is the official ATV of Digging Deep. In a move started by 8-time ATV MX Pro Class National Champion Chad Weenan, who with his next championship will become the winningest champion in ATV motocross history, we are living in ATV Racing's YF Z450R era. Alongside Weenan, 7-time GNCC XC1 Pro ATV National Champion Walker Fowler welcomed a pair of new champions to the Yamaha Champions Club, as the podium-proven Yamaha YF Z450R proved to be the winning choice for Joel Hetrick and Bryson Neal. This unprecedented success for the YF Z450R, its unrivaled quality and performance, and the clear fact that Yamaha is the leading OEM supporter of ATV racing has resulted in a complete Yamaha takeover within the sport quad market. Evident by the continuation of Yamaha's Blue Crew Racer Support Program, Yamaha riders will once again cash in on payout and prize opportunities in 2023, including a chance to win a brand new YF Z450R. For more info, head over to YamahaBlueCrew.com. Follow Yamaha Outdoors, as well as the new Blue Crew official channel on social media, and check out Yamaha's full proven off-road lineup at YamahaOutdoors.com today. SSI decals, your way. SSI Decals sets the standard with the best looking decals, graphics kits, and vinyl wraps in the industry. Established in 1947, SSI took shape as an offshoot of their parent company by doing a little work for local pro Chad Weenan. Nearly two decades later, and fueled by a passion for ATVs, the company has flourished into one of ATV Moto's most recognized brands. From ATV Motocross, SSI has expanded into graphics and design work for top racers in GNCC, Works Racing, Pro Motocross and Supercross, off-road, and more, headlined by 8-time world champion Top Fuel drag racer Clay Milliken. Whether your project is big or small, SSI Decals will make your identity stick. Get started today at SSIDecals.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 for 10% off at checkout. Things are about to get sick. The Digging Deep ATV MX podcast is brought to you in part by DID and their wide range of championship-winning chains. From the street to the track and everywhere in between, DID chains are designed to give you the optimal riding experience with great performance and increased chain life. Consistent to the core, pick up your box of reliability today. DID, what drives you?
We are proud to be partnered with Nomura Technologies. For over 20 years, Nomura has pushed the limit of value and reliability in the ATV and side-by-side market. Covering more applications than anyone in the industry, Nomura's full line of cast and forged pistons, connecting rods, gasket kits, and industry-leading top-end repair kits and more have led to higher overall engine performance for your machine. Visit your local dealer or online at www.nomura.com. And follow along on Instagram for giveaways and exciting new products in 2023. Nomura Technologies, your one-stop shop engine component supplier.
We are pleased to be partnered with Bronco ATV and UTV Components. Bronco has been an industry leader in replacement hard parts and accessories for all makes and models for over 15 years. With a catalog that includes a full line of electrical components, engine internals and cylinders, shock and suspension parts, winches, clutch kits, valves, carb kits, bearing kits, and drive chain parts, Bronco is your hard part source for whatever you need for whatever you ride. Available exclusively through distributors around the world, visit your local dealer or online at BroncoATV.com.
For over 150 years, Valvoline has been dedicated to constant improvement and innovation across all disciplines of racing. As a proud member of Team Valvoline for nearly a decade, I have witnessed their unwavering commitment to pushing the boundaries of performance. Valvoline has sponsored some of the greatest names in motorsports, solidifying their position as a powerhouse within the industry. Being a part of this historically great team has been an incredible privilege. When it comes to my equipment, whether it's my daily commuting vehicles, race quads, or anything in between, I trust nothing but Valvoline. Their range of products and lubricants consistently deliver increased horsepower, durability, and engine life. I'm excited to announce Valvoline's breakthrough in performance, Valvoline Ultimate Power Sports. With up to 8 times stronger rust protection and 50% better wear protection, this cutting-edge formula ensures your ATV's engine runs smoother and longer for the ultimate ride. Tackle rugged terrains with confidence, knowing your ATV's engine is equipped with the best protection available. Ready to experience the next level of performance? Head over to shop.valvolineglobal.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 at checkout to unlock an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to enhance your ATV's performance with Valvoline's Ultimate Power Sports Engine Oil. Let's get into our racers then, and we'll start by kind of breaking this up by tier. And when I say tier, I mean ATV fantasy tiers. At least that's the way we're going to talk about them here on the show. That's how we're going to break them down as far as our groupings of riders here. And Tom, there's nobody that we can start off with other than Joel Hetrick, the four-time champion. I got a couple stats here for you, courtesy of Digging Deep ATV Fantasy. Signups are open at atvfantasy.com. And yeah, we're just a week away now, so get those signups in at atvfantasy.com if you want to play ATV Fantasy here in 2024. We're going to give away some gear sets for any winners from this opening round. And then obviously going long-term, you guys know the drill. We give away tire sets and autographed memorabilia and all kinds of big prizes we've done each and every year that we've had this ATV fantasy game. But I got some stats here courtesy of ATV fantasy. As far as Joel Hetrick goes, he's up to 102 career podium finishes now for the all-time great legendary four-time champion. 57 wins for Joel Hetrick. Just crazy numbers, Tom. And I talked to Joel leading up to us recording here, us sitting down for this recording. And no surprise here, we've seen all the videos, the Rip It Off Films videos and stuff online. He's been pounding out laps at the Decker training facility since early January. So he's 2 full months in of prep at this point. He's really rolling over the same program. No real major changes from a year ago. And Tom, I don't know why you'd change anything, because Joel is better than ever. He was better than we've ever seen him last year. And I don't know why you'd change anything, man, because he's so freaking in control. It didn't matter where he started. Didn't matter what happened early in races. Last year, he was just at the peak of his powers. He could do no wrong. Shoot, I don't know why you'd do anything but just roll over the same program here into 2024.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything's changed with him, to be honest. Like, I think he's just kept the momentum going since Loretta's last year. No, he's on a different level, and it's just crazy, honestly, just to watch him every time. You get mesmerized just thinking about it and watching him. But no, he puts the work in every day and just pounds out his laps, and that's all he really needs to do. And I wouldn't blame him, and I wouldn't change anything if I was in his position. So He is definitely a champion and multi-champion for a reason, and it shows.
I couldn't agree more. He's a pro's pro. He does everything right. And the dude always gives us time too. Like, I reached out to our pro class here to get any updates leading up to the season. I reached out to these guys, and yeah, Joel was the very first one to answer me back with a lengthy kind of description of what his off season looked like, how he's feeling, all these things. And I'm like, man, I don't take that for granted at all. Like, the dude is rock solid. He's the best of the best. He's the fastest man on four wheels on the planet. And yet he always gives me time for this stuff. And I don't take that for granted. So yeah, Joel Hetrick comes in obviously as the favorite for race wins, favorite for the title, favorite in every way. We're going to get into in a few minutes here what his potential records look like, but he's racking them up, and yeah, he's going to obviously add more moto wins, overall wins, and who knows if he can add another title to his list of accomplishments here in 2024, but he definitely comes in as the favorite. Moving on to the next guy, these are tier one racers in your four rider team for ATV fantasy. This would be your team leader, your first pick. Second
on the board here is Bryce Ford. He's second coming in our power ranking because he finished second in points last season. He's up to 14 career podium finishes now, which is impressive. He got two career wins last season, winning Gatorback in Pleasure Valley. And man, he looks motivated. We had his dad, John Ford, on a recent episode, and he talked about how Bryce's prep has been really good this offseason. Tom, the thing about Bryce, and we came in, he comes in obviously with high expectations each and every year. We have high expectations for him. I know they got high expectations for him, and he's got high expectations for himself, all those things. But last year, he exceeded those expectations, those lofty expectations. He exceeded them. And we talked about this with John. So any listeners of the show here would have heard about this just an episode or two ago. But to get his first moto wins of his career, to get his first overall wins of his career, two of them, not just one, two, then to do what he did at the Quad Cross of Nations and win over there, to passing Chad Weenan in the process. Bryce Ford comes in, and the only thing he has not done is, and he's even been a points leader. He was a points leader at one point last season. He's really checked just about everything off other than win a title. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's going to win the title this season, but he did finish second in points a season ago. So shoot, I think just adding to that list of overall wins, moto wins, all those things, get a little bit closer to Joel Hattrick is going to be the goal for Bryce. He's obviously racing one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time, but Bryce Ford set a really high bar for himself. And if he rides anything like he did last year, he's going to be in the mix when Joel Hattrick falters for whatever reason. If it's a mechanical, if it's a crash, if it's a weather situation like we saw last year, he's going to maybe be the one to pounce. And we're going to see, obviously, he's going to hope to keep Chad Weenan in his rear view as far as points are concerned for a second season in a row. So bar is very high for Bryce Ford, and it's going to be really fun to see what he has in store.
He's definitely capable of a lot of things, and Bryce is a solid dude, and he could surprise some people this year for sure. I think if he just keeps his head in the game and everything goes smoothly for him, I think all work out for him. And that wouldn't be any doubt or surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be fun to see. He's turned into quite the pro himself, and he's very solid in his own right. So I've really enjoyed seeing him grow these last couple seasons. And he put together one heck of a 2023 season. So can't wait to see what he's got in store for 2024. Obviously, our final tier one rider is a rider who needs no introduction. He's an eight-time champion, number 44, Chad Weenan, of course. Some more stats for you, courtesy of ATV Fantasy, atvfantasy.com. Tom, 141 career podium finishes for Chad Weenan, which is such an absurd number. 141 weekends that dude stood on the podium at an ATV National, 66 career wins at this point. So before we get into the update that Chad gave us, he's got 66 career wins. Joel Hattrick has 57 career wins, Tom. So that math is intriguing to me because Joel Hattrick needs 9 wins to tie Chad Weenan for the win number that Chad Weenan has, and 10 wins, which would mean a perfect season as far as overalls go, would break Chad Weenan's mark of 66 career wins. So that's going to be something to monitor. You know, Joel Hattrick looked last year, I mean, he was so in control. It looked like he could have went undefeated. I mean, that looked like something that could have happened if things would have aligned. It looked like he was capable of it. And that's going to be something to monitor, because a perfect season would mean that he would surpass Chad Weenan as far as career wins go. Now, that's a tall order. That's a tall task. That's a lot to say. But definitely going to be something that's on my bingo card to watch here as the season unfolds.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how close it's become. And with Chad, it'd be interesting to see what he can pull off in the first few rounds of being injured. Of course, I mean, being that age, and you don't exactly bounce when you hit the ground. So I mean, just for him to crash and get back up and still want to do it at how old he is, that's pretty cool to me. I think he'll get back to race shape. I don't think maybe in the first or two rounds, but I think he'll be back, and I think he'll be able to challenge for sure.
Yeah, first of all, I'm just so grateful that the guy is still out there.
Of course.
I think I said it to him. I don't know if I said it on the show late last season or at the end of the season,
but I appreciate and I cherish the times where he's still at these races, you know, because it's not going to be long. One of these years, he's not going to be there anymore, and there's going to be a big void left behind. We've witnessed greatness. We've witnessed one of the greatest, put together one of the greatest runs ever, as good a run as there's ever been, when he's put together these eight titles throughout the last decade plus here, 12 years or so. And it's been amazing. And when he's not there, there's going to be a giant missing, gaping hole, gaping void in our sport. So super stoked that he's back for another season. I got an update from him because we got that update, you know, a couple weeks back, and it didn't sound that great about him getting injured here in the preseason and all these things. So he said he's back riding. He's been riding. He's got about 7 days of riding under his belt since mid-February. He's building back every day. His lung, rib, and back have had proper time to heal up, that they won't linger. Those injuries will not linger into the season here. He said he does have a thumb situation going on. He said that's been the hardest thing to deal with, is the thumb injury that he's dealing with. He said he's in for Daytona. So that's big news in itself, is that he's in for Daytona, because he kind of put that up in the air the last we heard from him. But he's hoping to be back to about 100% or closer to 100%. He's hoping to be 100% for round two. So he's in for Daytona, maybe not 100% for Daytona, but he's going to be there. He's going to be in it and hoping to be back to 100%. By round two. So that's going to be fun to watch there, see what Chad Weenan can salvage there at the opener. So let's think about things in digging deep ATV fantasy terms, Tom. So if we're assembling a team for you, for Tom Ebden's team here for Daytona, who's going to lead your team? Joel Hetrick, Bryce Ford, or Chad Weenan? Who are you taking with your first pick?
Not being biased, but I definitely have to go with Joel. To be honest, like, I know everybody would probably pick Joel, but, and, you know, honestly, anything could happen, you know, so someone could get a bad start or someone could have a mechanical failure. So, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen to anybody, but anything is possible in this world.
Of course. And yeah, like, Joel's going to be the favored pick here. Of course, it's going to be very hard to pick against him. We do know that it's a track that's hard to pass on. So a good dude gets a good start, and who knows what happens. Look at Brandon Hogue, just about won the thing 2 years ago. So, yeah. Always hard to predict here at Daytona. Craziness always happens at Daytona, but Joel Hetrick is going to be the lion's share of picks for that first tier. And obviously you couldn't argue anybody for doing so. So moving on to tier two, then, is a rider who was fourth in points last season. He was rock solid all season long. He's good every year. He's back for more here in 2024. It's Jeffrey Rastrelli. He's got 26 career podiums to his name. Like I said, he was fourth in points a year ago. He was the top finisher in tier two. As far as tier two riders go and digging deep fantasy, he was the top finisher there last season. I don't think he's been at Deckers. He's been down at his place down there in Florida, but I know Jeffrey's a guy that's podiumed at Daytona before, and he's going to be a rider to watch there on home soil and on home Florida soil next week. And if he can start off his season well, like he did a season ago, he was in the mix at those early races, that could set up for a good season and maybe a season where he can push for that top three in points. He was in the mix last year, and he's going to want to be in the mix just as much this season too, Tom.
Yeah, no, I always like seeing Jeffrey on the box and getting up there on the podium. It's cool to see. I hope he can run up front with these guys this year and push for podiums and, you know, maybe push for a win. But I mean, no, Jeffrey's a solid guy. He's obviously been around for a long time, and I think Jeffrey can definitely pull something off for sure. And everyone's really good, so it's definitely, who knows, every weekend it's always going to be different. I think
all of us want to see him get that first win before this whole ride is over.
Yeah, I really hope to see it. I mean, it's been in the works for a long time, and it'd be cool for him to get the monkey off his back and get that done.
Yeah, he saw it. It was so close. He almost grabbed it there at Gatorback last season when Bryce got his first win. So he's a guy that, yes, I think so many of us would love to see him pull it together. But yeah, 26 podiums, I believe I said, 26 podiums to his name. That's so impressive. And another rider here doesn't have nearly as many podiums, but was fifth in points last season. He's fifth almost every year. Nick Janusa, always top five. He's been top five in every championship he's ever raced as a pro. He's got five career podium finishes, so that number continues to grow. I think he's always in the mix. He's a rider that shows up with a good start and always seems to shine at Daytona with a good start.
but he was more flashy than ever before, I thought, last season. I thought his speed, his starts, I think that he was better than ever last season. Any thoughts on Nick Janusa, Tom? I think if he can bring any of that fire that he had last season, man, he's going to be more in the mix than he was last season. We saw him lead laps. We saw him get good starts. Like I said, he was in the mix. I think he was flashier than ever. And I hope that we see more of that here from Nick Janusa in 2024.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, he's definitely turned it up from years past. Like being last year that led a bunch of laps and pulling the starts that he did and stuff like that, and actually battling with Joel and Chad for that a little bit before at Buds. But everybody's solid. But no, Nick's super solid. And I think I think if he keeps his momentum going that he had from last year and he just keeps doing his thing, mm-hmm. he'll definitely pay off for him. And it'd just be good to see him battling up there for podiums and stuff like that.
I agree 100%. He's a rider you can never count out. This next guy, he didn't have the season he wanted a year ago. He finished sixth in points. That's not what he wanted, coming off third in the points a year prior. But he said he's grateful to line up for another season when I talked to him in the last couple days. He said he's changed a few things, both with the machine and his mindset. He's excited to see if those were proper changes here. He wants to see how this next week plays out. I'm obviously talking about Brandon Hoag. He's got 7 career podiums to his name. And like we referenced just a few minutes ago, he damn near won the season opener in 2022. So Brandon Hoag is a guy that I think you can't take your eyes off of, especially at this race where we've seen him show out. And I'm sure, I know it's going to be 2 years later at this point, but you know he wants redemption. He's back on that Yamaha. He loves the machine. I think that we're going to see hopefully a renaissance year from Brandon Hoag, and he can put that year that he had last season behind him, because he was so good with Music Racing in 2022. And I'm hoping that that's the Brandon Hoag that we see here in 2024, because that was a guy that he literally went to the line thinking that he can, should, and could beat riders like Joel Hetrick even. So that's the scrappy Brandon Hoag I hope we see here in 2024, pal.
Yeah, I think everybody at the track, including myself, really wants to see Brandon succeed and get that done and just be up there every weekend. I know that he may have struggled a bit last year just with things that may have been out of his control or whatnot. But Brandon, he loves the sport more than probably anybody. And he puts so much of his time into it. And I think he's definitely up there and definitely good enough to run with the big names and run with Joel and podium and could definitely win if everything laid out properly for him. But no, definitely hope to see him do good this year for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I find it hard to believe that anybody could not cheer for that guy. Gotta love him. So yep. We'll see what Brandon Hoag's got here in 2024. And finishing out tier two is a rider who fluctuated tiers last season, but we've seen him on the podium before. We've seen him on the podium 4 different times. I think for sure once at this race in years past. Max Lindquist is the rider I'm talking about. He's finished 7th, I think, every year as a pro so far, but the dude flashes. My fellow Wisconsinite, a guy I've always pulled for. I enjoy him so much. He's shown flashes as bright as anybody, as bright as any young racer for sure. It's just going to be interesting to see if we can make it so that those flashes aren't so sporadic and that we see them a little more consistently. I think that starts would help. If the guy could get better starts, I think that that's what we saw hinder him a year ago. If he could get better starts, we'll see him in the mix way more often. But the number two of Max Lindquist is a guy that I don't think that you can necessarily count out. I think that he's a rider that, like I said, if he can get a little more consistent, those flashes, and he, dude, never quits. He never quits. He's always one of the faster riders late in motos. He just needs to get some starts. And if those flashes can become more consistent, we'll see more podium finishes out of this guy to add to his 4 career podium finishes that he's got on the board.
No, Max is definitely a solid rider. No, and especially to say that you've beat like Chad Weenan straight up in a moto, like passing him for 2nd place. I think that was at Briarcliff or
it
something,
was.
But
it was, yeah.
Yeah, no, like, and to actually to do that, that's pretty insane. And to say you've done that, that's pretty incredible. I mean, definitely, probably, obviously not the season that he wanted last year, but no, anything can go. And he's good rider, and he always definitely puts the work in. So I think good things can come for sure.
I couldn't agree more, pal. So we both are, I don't know that I made that clear, but I would definitely pick Joel Hattrick in that first tier as well. Sitting here today, I don't foresee that changing. So if we both have Joel Hattrick on our fantasy teams for that tier one pick, who are you taking in tier two between Jeffrey Restrelli, Nick Janusa, Brandon Hoge, and Max Lindquist? You get a chance to pick a new team each and every week. So this is just for that opener, building your four rider team here. But who are you thinking you're going to go with? Who would you go with for the opener between Restrelli, Janusa, Hoge, and Lindquist?
I'm going to go with Brandon Hoge this weekend.
Yep, me too.
I think he's being at Daytona, and he probably just he wants to get that out of the way and get that off his back. So I think I'll put Brandon on my team. So
I agree 100%. When we had our reigning champion, our reigning fantasy champion on a couple weeks back, I told him prior races are something that I always put a ton of stock in. So yes, I agree. I can promise you that Brandon Hoge was on my team a year ago at Daytona, and he looked really good in the heat race, and then things kind of fell apart there. But yeah, he's a rider that I am not going to bet against, especially at this racetrack, because I think me and you and so many others would love to see him get some vengeance on the Daytona Demons, or whatever you want to call them there, whether it's even in the form of a podium. I would love to see the guy on the box to start off the season there. But yeah, maybe if there's a little magic left, maybe we could see him on the top of the box and kind of right some wrongs from a couple years ago.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
The following message is brought to you by Manscaped.com. The Manscaped engineering team has outdone themselves this time, creating the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, an official sponsor of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, with this exclusive offer of 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I am blown away. This thing is next level. What sets this trimmer apart from all the rest? The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. It features a new multi-functioning on-off switch with travel lock for those of us who like to travel. And my favorite, the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim with four different guard lengths, an upgrade from its predecessor that only featured two. If you're listening, you know that good tools are a must, so wait no more to get the best tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com by using code DIGGINGDEEP20.
Hey everyone, this is Larry Mills, president of DP Breaks North America and proud partner of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast. We at DP Breaks are a longtime supporter of ATV racing and the world leader in centered brake technology, dominating the ATV world for decades by supporting the best four-wheeled racers on the planet. This year's lineup includes Jeff Restrelli, Mark Baldwin and Baldwin Motorsports, Ford Brothers Racing, Nick Janusa, and many more, including Mr. Digging Deep himself, Cody Jansen. Plus all the top 17 GNCC pros, such as seven-time champion Walker Fowler, Bryson Neal, Hunter Hart, Cole Richardson, Jared McClure, Adam McGill, and previous champion Chris Borch. These top riders continue to appreciate the high performance and impressive durability that their DP brakes have to offer, products that ultimately help place them on top of the podium week after week. DP brakes are available through www.dp-brakes.com, or you can purchase them through your local Parts Unlimited stocking dealer, or you can even message us, myself, Larry Mills, or DP Brakes on Instagram or Facebook. And if you have any questions about product or sponsorship support, please ask us. We are waiting for you. Join the best ATV riders in the world equipped with DP Brakes, and have a great year, everyone.
Nearing two decades into the brand's existence, Factory 43 is back and better than ever, continuing to make major waves in the ATV world. For the third consecutive season, Factory 43 is the official aluminum parts choice of the Phoenix Racing ATV team, providing their state-of-the-art Evo Nerf bars, MX-style front bumpers, and grab bars for two-time champ Joel Hattrick. If you're in the market to upgrade your Nerf bars, bumpers, or grab bars, head over to factory43atv.com to see their full line of industry-leading products available for all makes and models. Head over to factory43atv.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Stillo, director of the D6 Ultimate Quad Series. We've been working hard over the years to bring you the very best in local ATV motocross racing. The D6 Ultimate Quad Series has race classes for all ages and skill levels. Maybe you're an experienced rider or you're just starting out, we have a class for you. We're excited to announce that we have 11 rounds of racing at tracks located in Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland. For more information, follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Moving on to tier three then. So now we're on the back half of the roster as far as ATV fantasy goes. And leading this tier is our eighth rider in points from a year ago. He's, of course, Wesley Wolf. He's got two career podiums to his name. He's finished on the podium at this event before. The dude has no quit. He's not really doing the GNCC thing as much as he once was, but he's still a jack of all trades. There's those infamous pictures that you'll never forget of him pushing his quad across the finish line at races in the past. Pleasure Valley last year, I swore he did it once at High Point, I'm pretty sure. So the dude, I enjoy him so much in that regard for never quitting. He represents so many good things, you know, blue collar racing and just no quit, all the things that people love to cheer for. So Wesley Wolf is going to be a guy that you can't really count out. And we've seen this in the past year where a guy in tier three may just push all the way to be on the podium here at Daytona. So going to be really interesting to see if one of these riders can do so in leading this tier, leading this group of riders is Wesley Wolf. And I hope that we see more of him. You know, we saw him really turn the corner, really become a contender, a weekly podium contender a couple of years ago. And then he got really hurt. He got severely hurt a couple of years back now. And he's been on the comeback trail ever since. And I hope that we see him maybe push for top fives and top threes. If we could see him get back into that mix, man, I would love to see it.
Yeah, no, it'd be really good. It'd be a good confidence booster for him. And it'd be just good to see that him get back to where he once was. I mean, he's definitely capable of it. He's got the speed and a good team around him. So, no, I think Wesley can get back to where he once was and battle for podiums and top fives like that. So, definitely not a guy to count out, and especially when you got to work a 9-to-5 job and then go ATV racing. You definitely want it. The want is there, and the drive to go racing is there.
For sure. Yep, for sure. I couldn't agree more. So it'll be fun to watch how Wesley puts together his 2024 season. Another rider that I am always pulling for, such a fan of, love having him here in the States. So glad he's back. Our ninth place finisher in points a season ago, Kevin Saar, Music Racing's Kevin Saar. So glad that he's back here. Europe's best. He podiumed a year ago at Pleasure Valley, which was amazing. He told me that his prep this season has been better than ever. It's been better than a season ago. He's excited to know the tracks. He's going to tracks knowing the tracks already. He knows the process of racing here in the States. And overall, he's just very thankful to be in position to race another year here in America. So I'm super stoked about the prospects of Kevin Saar being here. I think he's going to race Pro-Am again, which will be exciting down the road. That obviously doesn't concern Daytona, but that'll be fun to watch. And yeah, Kevin Saar, what a great addition to have in our AMA ATV Pro class. And man, maybe we see him, you know, like he got that one stray podium, but he was a 5-to-10 guy, and maybe we can see him push for more, you know, top five like rides, and who knows, maybe another podium here in 2024. But love that he's here and would love to see more from Kevin. What a nice, likable guy. And number change, he's number 31 now instead of 311. So number change, there's a little nugget for you. But yeah, stoked that Kevin Saar is back in the States for another season, and would have really missed him if he wasn't here. So I'm stoked about that.
Of course, yeah, especially being from a different country and coming here and honestly racing with the best in the world and getting a podium and being able to push for the top 10s and top 5s is definitely cool. I mean, definitely helps from experience going into races that racetracks you've raced before, just like he did last year, like going into every track blind. And to do what he did is pretty incredible. So happy for the guy, happy for him to be coming back, and he'll definitely do good this year.
I couldn't agree more. I'm stoked to have Estonia's own here and joining our AMA ATV Pro class for another season. The next guy on the list is a rider who may be one of the riders I'm most stoked to see, or maybe the most stoked to see back on the racetrack here in 2024. Zach Decker is the rider I'm talking about. He's obviously on the comeback trail from that massive crash and massive injuries he sustained last year at Gatorback. He's a former top amateur racer. He was the next big thing in the amateur classes, then went pro. He was riding so well when we saw him get hurt a year ago, running inside the top three in that first moto, running inside the top five, I believe, when he sustained that nasty get off and that nasty injury in moto two there at Gatorback. Zach Decker is a guy who was seemingly really turning the corner, and I'm just so stoked to see him back on the machine. So he's going to be a rider I'm very much watching in 2024 here and starting off the season right at Daytona. I know he's been prepping, and this is our day I'm sure he's looked forward to for a very long time. So cannot wait to see the number back out on the racetrack next Tuesday, pal.
Yeah, no, Zach, he's definitely ready. Especially last year at Gatorback when himself, Jeffrey, and Bryce were all in that freight train for a little bit at the front. No, definitely, I'd definitely watch out for him. He's definitely on it this year and definitely wants it more than anybody else or more than he's ever have. And he's been putting in the work. And I'm not just saying this because he's my buddy and whatnot, but no, definitely. Can't wait to see him out there and do really good. It's just awesome to see him back and just after everything he's been through, it'd be awesome to see him succeed and get what he wants to do.
And you would have had eyes on him spinning some laps in the spring here. So how's he look?
Yeah, incredible. I'm not just hyping someone up, but definitely faster than I've ever seen. So it definitely will be cool to watch.
That's great to hear, pal. And then finishing out this tier for at least for this weekend is Mason Jackson. He's an incoming rookie, of course. He's the reigning and defending Pro-Am and Pro Sport champion. He's the next big thing, like Zach was years earlier. This is now Mason Jackson. He told me that prep is going well, though he blew out his knee one of the first days riding, or the first day riding at Deckers on a dirt bike. So maybe you know a little about that, but you were down there as well. But he said he's been working on his consistency for 20 minutes, and Mason Jackson is going to be a rider to watch. I can't wait to see how the reigning and defending Pro-Am and Pro Sport champion is going to fit into this pro class. But I think the mentality that this kid has, I think that he's going to be right in the mix. Then I think, you know, in the mix for, I don't know, 5 to 10, maybe something like that. But I could see him doing very well as a rookie aboard the number 53.
Yeah, he'll definitely do good. And yeah, for sure. Like, I think he'll be up there. Definitely top fives and stuff like that and running consistency. I think, I've never raced the pro class, but 20 minutes is a long time to in a moto, so if he can just keep his consistency and keep his stamina there and to run in the top 10 to top 5, I think that'd be something to be proud of.
Yep. Riders come and go. Every once in a while we get a rider where it's like, man, I can't picture him just like being in there but like not being noticed. And those riders that you know kind of stand out to me are the Bryce Fords. When he went pro, you just knew he was going to flash, right? And Zach Decker was another one that I just couldn't think that he wasn't going to flash. And eventually he did. We saw it last year. And Mason Jackson now is the next one kind of in line, a young kid who just looked like the class of the field a year ago. And you had to, you know, you saw the guy, you had to race against the guy a little bit. And I think that Mason, just the way he just burst on the scene and grabbed those classes like he owned them. I know that the points were close and the classes down the stretch and whatever, but he still looked like the class of the field. I just think that he's going to be a great addition to this pro class. Finishing out tier three there is Patrick Chirini. Now, we had heard earlier in the off season that he was going to be in for three or so races is what he told me earlier on. So I had messaged him for an update to see. It didn't look like he was going to be at Daytona based on the entry list, but I wanted to have an update being that this is our season preview show on what races we could expect him. And I hadn't heard back yet. So rest assured, I don't think we're going to see Patrick Chirini at the opener, but maybe down the stretch we will. So in this tier three grouping then, Tom, we've now both selected the same riders for our first two tiers, Joel Hetrick and Brandon Hoge. So now for tier three, your options are Wesley Wolf, Kevin Saar, Zach Decker, and Mason Jackson. Who are you going to pick?
Zach Decker for sure.
Me too. We're assembling a very similar team, the same team here, looking at our ATV fantasy team for Daytona. But I don't know how you could pick against Zach Decker when he's going to have looked forward to this day for so long. We saw the speed that he possesses a year ago, and not that we couldn't see a standout performance from one of these other guys, but I think that the upside of Zach Decker right now, I think, is probably beyond these other riders. So it's going to be really fun to see, because when you look at, you know, Chad Weenan, Joel Hetrick, Bryce Ford, Jeffrey Rastrelli, Nick Janusa, Brandon Hoag, Max Lindquist, Wesley Wolf, Kevin Saar, Zach Decker. That's 10 riders right there. And a lot of those riders have the goal of, I mean, maybe every single one of them has the goal of being on the podium. And only three can be there. And that's what makes for some great racing prospects as we look forward to Daytona, is all these guys want, you know, a very select few spots there at the top of the board. It's going to be fun to see how it all shakes out. So now we have one tier left. We have a last tier left here for Daytona, thinking about our fantasy teams and riders to go over here for ATV Fantasy and for the opener. And that group of riders starts with Cody Ford, in my mind. I said on a recent episode that I feel like Cody Ford should almost be in a tier of his own, because he doesn't probably fit in with some of these other riders and the rookies and the stuff that he's in the grouping with. But I don't know if he fits with the riders above him necessarily either. Sometimes he does, but not every weekend does he. So this grouping is going to start with Cody Ford. He's a former Digging Deep Most Improved Pro Award recipient. He's always so damn solid. He's finished on the podium once before. That was years ago at Sunset Ridge. But Cody Ford is the guy who, if you put him on your fantasy team, you know he's going to be rock solid, and he's probably going to do all the laps, and he's going to bring his very best in all those things. So hard to pick against Cody Ford, and he'll be looking to push for a top 10 overall position this season in points. That's something he's done in the past. He's pushed for it, and that's going to be something that he wants to do again here in 2024.
Yeah, no, he's shown speed in the past, and when he's gotten starts, he's ran up front for quite some time, and I think everything's about starts. Well, a lot of it's to do with starts, and I think if he gets a good start and puts his head down, I think he can get up there and improve what he's done in the past.
The next rider on our list is Aaron Salinas. He told me that he's wanting to put last year behind him. He wasn't stoked about how things went last year. He would like to put himself in position to finish in the top 10 in the series points at season's end, and which I think is something that he can definitely do, and he wants to push to get near the top five. That's Aaron's goal, is to push towards the top five. But late in the season last year, he seemed to really start to put it together a little more. And yeah, we definitely saw some flashes from the guy. So he's definitely a very capable rider. Like, Aaron Salinas is definitely capable of doing anything in this class. Put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes a top 10 staple in this class. And looking ahead, I think that Aaron is a very solid rider, good head on his shoulders, super consistent, and somebody I like to cheer for. So Aaron is going to be a very viable pick in this here as well, whether it be this race or races to come in the season ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to see Aaron do good. Glad that he wants to put last year behind him, but he's been putting in the work and doing his own thing. And I think everything will go well for him. I think he's definitely got the speed and the talent to be up there. And I think definitely could crack the top five. Everybody's so good. Like, everybody else that we've talked about so far is so good. So,
right.
But I definitely think Aaron's up there and can definitely do it.
He could be one of those guys that gets in the mix. That's for sure.
Of course.
So Adam Ulrich is a rider next in line here. And I thought that he was really impressive last year, Tom. I thought he was really impressive. He was the best rookie at times last season, excluding Kevin Saar, who I know won the Rookie of the Year award, but he's in a little bit of a category of his own. But last year, Adam Ulrich was kind of the flashiest guy at times from that young rookie class. And he's a guy that, if he takes a step forward, like, he too could be a guy that's in the mix for top 10s.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's been down with Jeffrey and training down there. And I think, I think he could be up there and definitely be in the top 10 and be consistent and move forward.
For sure. Another guy on the list here is John Glotta. He's the GNCC Pro, of course, XC1 rider, now riding for Phoenix Racing. He's not going to be out there for Daytona. It doesn't sound like. I wish he was going to be out there for all of them. I thought maybe he would be now that he's riding for Phoenix. But yeah, I knew he wasn't on the entry list that I received. And so I shot him a message, and he said he was hoping to race a couple again this season, but didn't have a concrete answer for us. So bummed about that. Would love to see John Glotta out there. He was really fast and really impressive at Daytona a year ago. So wish John Glatta was going to be out there. Marshall Smith is our next rider on the board. He's on the comeback trail from a broken heel suffered a season ago. So great to see the 40-something-year-old Marshall Smith back out there. I think he's planning 8 races this season, including Daytona. So I'm super stoked to see Marshall back out there. Credit to him. Andrew Shaddle is also going to be at races this year. He said he wasn't sure how many he'll attend, but he's trying to maintain his pro card. He's a rider that many Ride Red Honda fans, anybody that was on the same wavelength as Adam McGill on the last episode, Andrew Shaddle is going to be a guy that maybe those Honda fans cheer for.
Yep.
Like I said, he's a guy. Yeah. And Tom, you're a Honda guy, right? So,
yep.
So maybe you're an Andrew Shaddle fan, but yeah, he doesn't know how many races he'll be at, but plans to be at some of them for sure. And now to the bottom of our list here is some incoming rookies that I'm definitely going to be interested in seeing where these riders stack up. Starting with Joe Chambers, reached out to Joe. He said that he believes he can be a top 7 to 10 pro. He thinks he can finish from 7th to 10th in that range there. And we saw how good he was a year ago. He was ripping early in the pro sport class at Daytona a year ago. So if he brings some of that speed, I mean, we know that these races are longer. You gotta stay in it for a long time in the pro class. But yeah, he believes he can be a 7 to 10 place guy. He thinks that we'll see some bigger gains from him later in the season as well. I think he made the comment that he's been battling some practice bike issues and stuff being broke down and whatever, but he's a guy that he thinks that he can round into form later in the season. But going to be interesting to see where Joe fits into this pro class. Blair Miller as well. He's a guy that has won races, led the points, and been in the mix in pro am and pro sport in years past. So Blair Miller will be fun to see where he stacks up. And then Tino Abbatiello as well, another incoming rookie, another rider that's finished on the podium in those classes, and another rider to add to the mix and add to the gate for this AMA ATV Pro class. So it's going to be really fun to see how these young racers fit in there, but it will be really fun. I always think it's so enjoyable to see where these young riders fit in there, because you start to see how the mentality thing, like some of these riders, and I was one of them that was very intimidated by racing the guys that I looked up to. And you see some of these riders though, that come out in the pro class, and you can tell that they don't treat them other guys any differently. They don't put them up on a pedestal or any of those things. And it'll be interesting to see which one of these riders is going to stand out above the rest.
Yeah, no, it definitely cool to see all those guys making the step. And I'm glad that more people are starting to step up and go pro. So it's good to see.
The tough thing is when you're trying to figure out where everybody fits in is there's like no cupcakes, you know, like everybody, like we just talked about, everybody thinks they should be in the top 3 or top 5 or top 10. Like nobody's going to give it to you. So
yeah, exactly.
That always makes it fun to see how it's going to play out. So we're going to determine now, Tom, if we're going to have the same exact team heading into ATV Fantasy at Daytona. So who's going to be the last addition to your team? Cody Ford, Aaron Salinas, Adam Ulrich, John Glatt is not in there, Marshall Smith, Andrew Shaddle, who I don't also think is going to be at Daytona, Joe Chambers, Blair Miller, Tino Abbatiello. So Cody Ford, Aaron Salinas, Adam Ulrich, Marshall Smith, Joe Chambers, Blair Miller, Tino Abbatiello. Who are you picking?
Aaron Salinas.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. I could see him finishing 7th, or I could see him maybe not getting the greatest start and finishing who knows where, right? But he's a guy that if he finished 7th, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome.
So you're going Aaron Salinas. I'm going Cody Ford, and I'm going Cody Ford because he's rock solid. I know what I'm going to get from him, and it's going to be very hard to pick against him. Now, what I will say is Cody Ford's not the best qualifier. And if one of these guys comes out and qualifies really well, this team is definitely subject to change. So,
yeah.
So we always give our guys about 30 minutes before the first qualifier, or what I typically would be the first moto, but for this one is a heat race. So get those picks in up to 30 minutes before the heat race at atvfantasy.com. But yeah, it's going to be very exciting to see what happens. We're going to see how your team of Joel Hetrick, Brandon Hogue, Zach Decker, and Aaron Salinas stacks up at the opener. But that is a very good sounding team there, Tom. So it'll be fun to see how that stacks up. My team, like I said, very similar. Joel Hetrick, Brandon Hogue, Zach Decker, and Cody Ford. We're going to see how that stacks up as well.
Success in the ATV MX world is similar to what creates financial success as well. The right people, the right advice, and more importantly, hard work and the benefit of an ongoing relationship as situations change and adversity is experienced. Do you have the right financial advisor to help you reach your goals? Haymauer Financial Group can create a personalized, goal-based plan to help your family prepare for whatever life brings. Call me, Scott Haymauer, at Haymauer Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, at 920-338-8150. That's 920-338-8150. Office is located in beautiful De Pere, Wisconsin, with registrations and clients nationwide.
Headlined by the 4130 Cromali, Launderville Steel and Concrete Supply is a full-service steel supplier of new and surplus steel, aluminum, and stainless steel products. This racing family-owned full metal service center and concrete product supplier comes with over 30 years of experience serving the entire United States from their central Midwest location. As the number one choice for nationwide shipments and with available next-day delivery in select areas, LSE has you covered near or far. 4130 is not just the chromoly tubing and plate used in the building of chassis for an array of motorsports applications, but it is also the name of the newest addition to the Pro Paddock with riders Jaden JJ Launderville and Max Lindquist, introducing the new 4130 Motorsports team. Launderville Steel offers a large selection of material for any project, including their concrete division that can supply everything you need to complete your next business or personal project. For a quote or more info, visit LaundervilleSteel.com today or give them a call at 715-675-6193. That's 715-675-6193.
Here at Digging Deep, we have an obvious passion for ATVs and pridefully enjoy sharing the sport's history. Since 2019, when the podcast was born, we've been working to partner with individuals who share our passion, but one man and his vision had been missing from our partnership group. Until now. When it comes to the sport's history, the hallowed grounds of Binky's Forever ATC Museum has it all. Binky Tapscott's mind-blowing collection of three- and four-wheelers has preserved history by spanning all makes and models from Honda three-wheelers in chronological order to unique builds that shaped ATV racing as we know it, like Doug Gust's iconic DRZ-powered hybrid thumper and everything in between. There's no denying Binky's passion, a passion that we certainly relate to here at Digging Deep. Binky's goal is to share his amazing collection with fellow enthusiasts by making his prized possessions accessible to the public via scheduled visits. Follow Forever ATC Museum on Facebook and watch foreveratc.com for further updates on possibly getting a chance to see Binky's Forever ATC Museum for yourself. We are proud to welcome Binky's Forever ATC Museum to the Digging Deep family.
As the number one podcast in ATV racing, it's only right that we partner with the industry leaders in suspension tuning. Insert Impact Solutions. Impact Solutions is a full-service ATV and side-by-side suspension center specializing in the revalving and service of your motocross and off-road suspension. With over 25 years of elite-level knowledge, experience, and testing with riders of all ages and ability levels, Jay Goble and the Impact crew strive to exceed the clients' expectations for service and setup. Impact Solutions is the official Elka Suspension Service Center of the United States, offering unmatched product knowledge and experience. Whether you're in need of service, parts, warranty, sales, or technical support, Impact Solutions has you covered. Head over to ImpactSolutionsATV.com or give them a call today. With the desire to keep you in the race, Ultimate Poly Products offers the ultimate protection collection of case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. Founded on quality in 1998, this family-owned and operated business produces products created by racers for racers. These industry-leading products are proudly made and manufactured in the USA, with their case savers being made of the highest quality American-made polyurethane on the market and designed to completely conform to your engine case to help prevent case damage from a thrown chain, because no one wants to be a spectator on race day. Join top pro riders like Bryson Neal, Walker Fowler, John Glotta Jr., Adam McGill, Cole Richardson, and more by using UPP Racing products. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com to save on your next order. Ultimate Poly Products, made to last longer so you can ride more.
Thanks for listening, and remember to support our partners. Now back to the show.
The next thing I want to talk about, kind of as we wind down here on our Daytona and season preview show, is Pro Sport, a class that you should have been in, of course, but going to be really interesting to see how this class stacks up. We just saw a class that is predicted to be about 18 or 19 riders at the opener of the Pro class. And this one, let's see how many guys we got on the entry list here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So we have 20 guys. That's more than a full gate at Daytona, because typically there's 16 gates. Maybe they take them all to the main event. That's sometimes how it's been here. But either way, man, it's going to be a totally full gate. Bunch of quads on the racetrack for this highly competitive pro sport class. I want to go over some of the names that stand out for this one. And there's so many good guys on this list, starting with the names that kind of stand out to me. Noah Arnal, he's a 250 sensation, now making his 450 debut. He's going right to the top classes of amateur ATV racing. He's going to be a rider to watch, see how he's going to stamp his entrance to the 450 class. Landon Korn, another guy who is a 250 phenom. He's jumping right into the pro sport class. You know the dude's going to be wide open. Jaden JJ Launderville, he's the defending winner of this event a year ago, so he's got to come in as the favorite, I would think. Brett Musig, he is a former champion of this class. Last year, he lost the championship by just 1 point behind Mason Jackson, who we just talked about how good of a pro he's going to be. So Brett Musig obviously is as viable as anybody in this class. And then Joey Norris is another name that jumps off the page to me. He's just 16 years old, but we saw him go from not being old enough to race these classes right to competing at the front of the class a year ago. So he's as fast as anybody. He's another name that jumps off the page to me. So Tom, who of these riders, and I guess maybe I should list all the names to you, but which riders jump off the page to you? We have Noah Arnal, Gage Beebe, Nick Corelli, Landon Korn, Cale Deal, Casey Fancher from the B class a year ago. He's now in pro sport. Adam Grandin, Heath Hanna, Dawson Herringer, Cody Houghton, Damian Hubert, another 250 rider, Jaden Launderville, Tyler Marlin, Justice McDaniel, Chris Miller, Brett Musig, Dominic Noble, Joey Norris, Wyndham Spooner, and Jacob Visnick. A lot of good names there, pal. Anybody that I didn't mention jump off the page to you?
Yeah, Launderville definitely stands out, jumps off the page. Joey Norris, he's been at Deckers, and he's been putting in the work, and he's been getting fast. The 250 guys too, that's pretty crazy going from a 250 right to the top. But I mean, if they're down for it, I mean, go for it. But yeah, I mean, it is a stacked class, and you never know who's going to win each moto and each weekend. But I think consistency plays a big part in everything.
So do you feel comfortable maybe giving me a podium prediction here? I know these are guys that you got to race against here in the future. You should have been in the class this weekend. But for me, I think I'm going to go Jaden Launderville goes back to back. I'm going to say he wins the pro sport overall there for the second year in a row. I'm going to put Brett Musig on the podium as well. Hard to pick against that guy. He'll probably get the whole shot because he always does. And then he's going to make them have to go around him. And, oh man, the other thing that's interesting to think about, and I don't want to discredit guys like Cale Deal, who's, you know, a very good racer, longtime racer in these, or I shouldn't say long time, but he's been a competitor in these fast classes for, a number of years now. Cody Houghton was on the show last year, friend of the show. He's a rider who was very fast. I think him and Cale battled a season ago. Heath Hanna, like there's good guys in these classes for sure.
Heath, yeah, definitely.
But something that's interesting to me is how is it going to stack up between a rider like Joey Norris? Because my third podium pick comes down to it. Noah Arnal or Joey Norris. And they used to battle on 250s. Last year, Joey was able to jump up mid-season to the 450, and Noah was having to stay back on the 250 or chose to stay back on the 250 for the duration of the season. So now does Joey Norris have that jump of having half a season of battling pro sport and pro-am guys under his belt? Does that give him a jump over a rider like Noah Arnal? But Noah Arnal, they tell me, has won as many youth national championships as anybody ever. And he's been a complete 250 racing phenom. So going to be really interesting to see how that little nuance of that stacks up between those two. But I think if I'm going to, oh man, I don't know. Joey's so fast but I feel like there's a chance that Noah's maybe a little more consistent. So I'm going to go Noah Arnold. I'm going to go Noah Arnold, puts it on the box in his first time on a 450 at an ATV National. So Jaden Launderville, Brett Musig, Noah Arnold. That's going to be my prediction for pro.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard to give you like a top three, like I almost want to give you a top five, but no, I think I agree with your top three. I think I would change third to Joey. I just personally think experience plays a big part in things.
Yep.
Just going that pace for that long and doing that. But I mean, anything is definitely possible. And no, I'm not discrediting Noah or any other rider, just saying that experience is definitely a big key and a big part of this. So,
well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's why I think it's so interesting to see how that's going to play out. And I'm sure things will go not according to plan and everybody will get crazy in the first corner and everything will be flipped on its lid. But
yeah,
I think it'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out. And there's a lot of viable, really good riders in that list. So it's going to be really fun to see how that goes. One of the only things left to ask you, pal, is your podium prediction for the pro class. So you picked Joel for your ATV fantasy team. So that means you think Joel's going to win. You also put Hoag on your team, but I don't know. That could mean that he finishes fourth overall. If you think all the first tier riders are going to finish on the podium, if it's going to be some combination of Joel, Chad, and Bryce. So give me a podium prediction for Daytona, pal.
Oh, that's tough. Joel first. Oh, this is tough. Jeffrey Rastrelli, Zach Decker.
Really? Wow. Wow. Well, so now you just messed up your fantasy team because you should have picked Jeffrey Rastrelli for your tier two pick. But either way, that would be a pretty freaking rad podium there at the opener. Now, like we said, always crazy stuff seems to happen at Daytona. It happens every single year. So your podium of Joel Hetrick, Jeffrey Rastrelli, and Zach Decker would fit the mold of a little unorthodox, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I kind of said that, because Daytona is interesting every time. Like the first corner is like just an absolute yard sale.
Yeah.
So
something crazy always happens. For me, I'm going to go Joel Hetrick, obviously one. I just have a feeling, and maybe it's because I just want it for the guy, but I'm going to go Brandon Hoag second. I'm going to go Brandon Hoag second. I don't think he's got enough to beat Joel. I think Joel's just in a league of his own. Last we saw him, and I think that's probably going to carry over to this season. But we're going to go Joel Hetrick one, Brandon Hoag two, and I'm going to give the third spot to Chad Weenan because he's so rock solid. It's hard to imagine the dude not being on the podium. We saw him on the podium for a decade, you know, uninterrupted basically. So I'm not going to not pick Chad Weenan for the podium. But yeah, Joel Hetrick, Brandon Hoag impresses and gets second. And Chad Weenan fights through injury to put it on the box and start his season probably feeling pretty good about himself. And everybody else, they're going to be upset that they're not on the podium, but they're going to be able to redeem themselves. Well, they're going to have to sit on it for a month. But when they get to Texas for Underground for round two, they'll be trying to right the ship from what happened there at the opener. But for you, Hetrick, Rastrelli, Decker. And for me, Hetrick, Hoag, Weenan. So that is my prediction. That's yours. Pal, you gave us a prediction for when, or you gave us kind of an idea of when we may see you later this summer. I really appreciate you being here with me tonight to talk about this. Thought that you'd be the perfect guy. I know we didn't touch a ton on the guys that you saw at the Decker training facility and all those things. Maybe that's something I should ask you before we get out of here, is if you had anybody that during your time there, whether it's the pro class or pro sport, pro am, or even an amateur class, did you have anybody that surprised you or impressed you while you were down there at Decker's?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like when I was there, it was kind of quiet. So, okay.
Okay.
Didn't see a lot of people, but definitely Zach, of course, Joel, Kevin Starr was looking really good as well. Joey Norris, he was looking good. Launderville, when he was there, he was looking good as well. So everybody that was there was looking pretty good. Honestly, that is the, I think, in my opinion, is the place to be to be better and get stuff done, because it's such a facility and just so well set up. And I mean, I get, they have a race coming up after Daytona, and I think that I was there last year. It was a pretty cool event, and they put on a camp every year as well. So I think definitely they're making big moves in the scene, and I'm just glad to see that there's a facility that wants quads and lives and breathes quads. So I'm definitely happy to see that.
Absolutely, man. I don't think that there's any place that even competes. Like, and I don't even, I mean, of it's course. not even a competition. Like they control the whole market. To have a place like that that's so focused towards ATVs is it's invaluable to our sport.
Of course.
And it's so great that so many people support it and go down there and patronize it and all those things. I mean, it's truly a blessing for our sport and so many of our racers. And what is it called? Is it called the Spring Break?
Yeah. So it's the Spring Break Showdown. And then they have the champ camp there the day after.
Yeah. So I tuned into that race, the videos that were going on and the live streams and stuff from a year ago. And yeah, enjoyed watching all that. Thought it was cool. So many people, I mean, big money, right? There's big money going out and all kinds of great racing and fun to see.
Especially like very, very good people like Jason, Melissa and Zach and everybody that is there and just the whole Decker family and everyone that supports that place is absolutely phenomenal, and they just like treat you like family, and it's awesome. So glad that they're willing to progress the sport.
Absolutely, man. They're a former partner of ours, and whether they're sponsoring or partnering with our show or not, I would do nothing but talk up that place, because there's nothing like it. And it sure is a great, great thing to have for the ATV racing community. But pal, I feel like we've covered this thing as much as we possibly can without these guys going racing. So a week from now, we'll be on the cusp of this thing. We'll be, as we record here, well, they'll be about to go racing. By the time this is live, a week from now, we'll know exactly how everything went. But really excited for that, more excited than ever after having this conversation with you. And yeah, I really appreciate you making time for me and making yourself available and spending some time here while you're trying to rehab, talking some ATV racing with us. And we really look forward to seeing you heal up and getting back to the racetrack, pal. That's what I look forward to as much as anything.
No, absolutely. I appreciate it. And just having this talk lifted my spirits a bunch. So no, I'm happy and glad you asked me to come on the show again. It's honestly an honor, because not a lot of people get to do this. So I appreciate it for sure.
Heck yeah, man. We love having you. I got one last hard-hitting question for you before we get out of here. How many overalls is Joel Hetrick going to have this season?
Oh, boy. I think last year, didn't he win? Like, it was 3 to 4 motos he didn't win. Is that correct? I think
it would have been 4 motos he didn't win, and he didn't win 3 overalls as well. So he didn't win 1 moto at Gatorback. He didn't win either moto at Pleasure Valley. And he didn't win the final moto at Loretta. So I think he went 20 for 24, winning 7 overalls in the process is what his season looked like in 2023.
How many rounds is there? 10?
There's
9, 10.
There's 10 rounds. Theoretically, there's 19 motos because of the however you want to count the heat race of Daytona. But yeah, 10 rounds. And so my question for you is, how many of those 10 is he going to win?
I mean, you'd love to see the guy go undefeated. I'm going to say 9.
Okay, then who wins the other one? Because I knew you were going to say 9.
Oh,
Because the question I'm trying to get to is, if he wins 9, if Bryce Ford wins the other one, Joel and Chad are tied going into 2025. So that's going to be the number to monitor going forward or throughout this season, is how close is Joel Hetrick going to get to Chad Weenan's number of 66 overalls in the year 2024. If he wins 9, they're tied. If Chad Weenan wins the 10th one, then that gives him a one race bump or whatever. I mean, you're probably only slowing down the inevitable. I'm sure Joel Hetrick's going to catch him, but yeah, just curious if we're going to see it this season or next, I guess.
I wouldn't count Chad out from not being able to win a moto, win a moto or win overalls. I anything's possible, of course, but no, I definitely think that he still has it in him to do it.
Yeah, I think, and I believe the stat was, and now I remember reciting it in August when he won at Loretta's, when he won that final moto and won his first overall of the season on his very last try. I believe that clinched him winning a national event overall every year for the last 17 years. Think about that. 17 freaking years this dude has won an overall, and I definitely want to see him do it again here in 2024. I mean, you want to see him extend that streak for as long as he can. And Joel Hetrick comes in as the favorite. There's nobody that's going to come on one of these shows and in good faith say that Joel Hetrick isn't going to win this title. It's just too hard to bet against him. He would be up to number 5 then. He's number 4 right now. He's got 4 more to tie Gary Denton and Chad Weenan. But yeah, I definitely want to see Chad get in the mix and definitely want to see Chad win another race this season. And hopefully things are competitive. It would be fun to see a historic undefeated run. I mean, that would be fun to see out of anybody. Course. That would be fun to see out of anybody. But what I'd rather see more than anything is some good competitive racing. So fingers crossed that we see that as well.
Of course. No, you don't want
to
just.
Nobody wants to run away. No.
Yeah, it's fun watching Joel run away and blast the field, but it's nice watching him have to work for it.
Yes,
and everybody exactly. having to work for it, of course, and in the good racing. So exactly. I think it's definitely will be a good year with like the GNC races and stuff. But like, who is the most winning of all time? Do you know, or is that like? Too much to like calculate
there's no numbers out there to find an actual representation of that. It's something I wish I knew, but when you go back to about the year 2006, when there was some shifting with the series and who ran it and some of the governing bodies and stuff like that, there's a shift in 2006 where you start to lose record of things. And so I don't know how many event wins Gary Denton has. I don't know how many overalls he has. I mean, hard to imagine, like for the 8 out of 10 that Chad Weenan won, he was pretty darn dominant, at least for the first half of those.
Yeah.
So hard to imagine Gary was much more dominant than that. But I mean, we may never know. I don't know what the number is. And that's why I always pick my words carefully, because I don't want to say Chad Weenan's the winningest ever, because I don't know that.
But yeah, no one knows.
But we know how good he was for so long that in my mind, comparing Joel to Chad obviously is very comparable. They've raced each other Chad for the majority of his career. Joel Hetrick has raced Chad Weenan basically every time he's ever lined up as a pro. So we're seeing two of the greatest of all time. That's undeniable. We're seeing two of the greatest of all time do something completely unprecedented, because prior to Chad Weenan, other than Gary Denton, there was no multi-time champions. There was, you know, 4-time champions and a few 3-time champions and stuff like that, but nothing like we've seen now. We never thought anybody would get to 8, and now we got Chad Weenan at 8, and Joel Hetrick looks like he's inevitably going to get there. So it's absolute greatness, and I can't wait to see what this year and in years to come look like. But we're witnessing greatness no matter how it plays out.
Of course, 100%.
So, Tom, I can't thank you enough for being here again, pal. This has been so much fun, and we want to see you heal up. We want to see you out there on the racetrack, but this is a pretty good next best thing. We really appreciate you being here, pal. We appreciate your involvement a ton. So look forward to doing this in the future for sure.
I appreciate it. No, thank you for having me on here.
Awesome, pal. Heal up, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Will do.
You're the man. That's Tom Ebden signing off on our Digging Deep Daytona ATV Supercross and Season Preview Show. Tonight brought to you by UPP Racing and uppracing.com. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com. Thanks so much, buddy. Have a good night.
You too.
Well, guys, there's just one more thing left to do. It's time to go racing in Daytona. Thanks to tonight's featured guest, Tom Ebden. Thanks to producer Dallas Jansen, my brother, for all his hard work. Thanks to Brooke and AMA official Harv Whipple. Thanks to all of our donors. You know who you are. We appreciate you so much. Thanks to all of our partners, CST Tires. Go to shop.csttires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew. Thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Launderville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Haymauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com. New partner D6 Ultimate Quad Series and Manscaped to get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. Support the brands that support our show, and don't forget to use those codes to save. Find it all on our website, and be sure to click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner for all your gear and parts needs and to help us out. And most of all, thanks to you guys for listening. We have new merch available at shop.diggingdeepatvmx.com, so check that out today. Brand new hoodie designs for the new season, so we're stoked on those. And you know, more than anything, the place to be right now is ATV Fantasy and signing up and getting that team set for the season opener of Digging Deep ATV Fantasy. If you're looking for another easy way to help support us, visit our website and click the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee buttons. This allows you to set up a one-time or monthly contribution to support our efforts. Follow the show on social media, Digging Deep ATVMX Podcast, and myself, Cody Jansen, for additional content, coverage, and more fun stuff as we are set to kick off a brand new season of ATV Motocross. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find the Digging Deep ATVMX Podcast. All episodes, additional podcast providers, sponsor links, and discount codes, show merchandise, fantasy info, and more can all be found on our website, diggingdeepatvmx.com, so check that out today. Be a friend, tell a friend, please download, subscribe, rate, review, and share. And with that, for Tom Ebden, Brooke Jansen, Dallas Jansen, and I'm your host, Cody Jansen, thanks for listening to and making us the most listened to podcast in ATV racing, with nearly 250,000 downloads last month in 108 total countries. Until next time, thanks for joining us in Digging Deep with the Stars of ATV Motocross. We'll see you in Daytona, and get signed up at ATVFantasy.com.
Things are crashing and burning here at the Digging Deep podcast, much like the Titanic.
Those guys were hauling ass, for real.
I remember watching Doug Gus, I don't know who it was, Steel City, running the same times Friday afternoon as James Stewart was on Sunday back then. It was mental. I've never seen quads go that fast.
Quadlers are freaking gnarly.